Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love. In Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
To the brightness within you and the truth that is rooted within me.
Hi, and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm your co-host, Jeannie Rice, and we welcome you to the show. Today is Wednesday, June the 4th, 2014. Our call-in number is 646-200-4169. Press 1, and that puts you in queue to talk to us. And we would love to hear your comments and your questions, because then that makes this your show. Michael will be with us shortly. He's actually getting ready to leave Asheville, North Carolina, and head over this way. For those of you who are in that area, originally there was workshops scheduled through Thursday. We were off Friday, and then a breath workshop on Saturday. And so due to some unexpected circumstances, tonight and tomorrow night have been canceled in Wisteria, at the Wisteria Inn in Weaverville, North Carolina. So those have been canceled for tonight and tomorrow night. However, Saturday, June the 7th, the breath workshop is still on, but it's a limited number for that, and there's already 8 or 9 people, I think, registered for it. So you need to get in touch with Michael at his cell phone or text him or email him and let him know that you're wanting to register to be part of the breath workshop on Saturday. And that's June the 7th, and that will be in Weaverville, North Carolina. And we'll give the address for where the breath workshop is going to take place to those who register. It's a private residence, so we're not giving it out publicly. And also on June the 7th, then, I'm going to be doing a look at the whole woman. It's a free 3-hour workshop here in Bristol, Tennessee. So those are the two things going on right now. Then Michael has a couple of workshops scheduled June 17th and 18th in St. Louis, Missouri. And he's going to be spending some time up there also with the grandbaby before he heads down to Heartland to get ready for the 10-day Food Fund Forgiveness and Work Program with Ari. And I'm going to hang out here in Bristol. I've got a family reunion coming up the 1st of July, and then I will be joining him in Heartland before the first official intensive starts, which is the communication and codependence intensive that begins on July the 18th. I'll get my dates straight here in a minute. Anyway, we welcome you to the show, and that's what's going on with us for right now. So if you are in the North Carolina, Weaverville, North Carolina area, and we're anticipating going to the workshops again tonight and tomorrow night has been canceled. And so you can get a hold of Michael a little bit later after the show if you need more information on that. So what is our show about, Mind Shifters Radio? It's about forgiveness from the Aramaic, which is totally different from what most in this culture have been taught. We've been taught that if something's going on in us because someone else did a behavior, that we are to forgive them. And that does nothing to address what's going on inside of us. From the Aramaic, forgiveness is, I'm going to go inside and remove the energy that doesn't belong in me, the anger, fear, guilt, hostility, pain, whatever, that's becoming my physiology. And I'm going to remove it so that no matter what happens in my world, I can stay in a connected space, stay connected to my source, and be able to move through the situation with a more open mind, being able to see the whole picture, and being able to make more sane choices. So if you have any questions on that, you can call in. Our call-in number is 646-200-4169 and press 1. Or the chat room is open and Peacemaker's in there. Hi, I'm glad you're there. I will be in to chat later after Michael gets on the switchboard. Multitasking with talking and writing at the same time doesn't always work, so I'm going to not be in the chat room until Michael gets on. Our website is www.whyagain, it's whyagain.org, and you can go to that, and in the top left corner, there's a button that says Start Here, or in the middle of the page, there's a red and white bullseye. Both of those links will take you to the same place, and the first link is Michael's book, chapter 24, and that is the chapter where Michael walks the character Richard in the book through the forgiveness process and how to change his realities. And then after that is a 7-step worksheet, and following that is, I believe, now 13 MP3s where different ones of us have walked people through doing the forgiveness process. And so you can follow along on that. I know that one of the support groups the other day, they actually took the MP3 of, I'm opening my page at the same time I'm talking, I believe it was March 31st, but it was where Michael did an intense explanation of the newest worksheet. And he goes through step by step the whole 7 steps and explains what each one means. Yes, that was March 31st, 2014. And that recording's under the MP3s. But one of the support groups took that MP3 and played it, and the whole support group then followed along to really get an in-depth insight into the newest worksheet. So that might be an idea for some of you who have support groups out there. And other than that, if anyone has a question, it would help for you to call in. It makes time go by quicker, and like I said, it makes it your show. I know that Dr. Tim is not with us today. He and Rex both are in a meeting, and so if Michelle pops on, maybe she'll share with us what happened at the prison yesterday. None of them will be on the show this morning. So we welcome everyone, and a couple of things. If anyone is in the Bristol area and you have the ability to do an audio-video recording, I would like to capture the women's workshop Saturday morning. So if anybody has that possibility, that would be awesome. And then we're coming up on Heartland and the intensive program for the summer season. And what we do there is it starts out with the work program, and that's an economy program. It is $750 for 10 days, and that includes your accommodations. It includes all your meals, and Ari's going to be there, and he's going to be doing some cooked food during the first 10 days. We normally do all live raw, but he's going to be doing cooked food. And so we've got 51 days scheduled. That had been 73 and it changed. So, and what happens there is if people don't register for an intensive, then we cancel it, we shift the schedule around. But the 10-day food fun and work gets the property ready for the full intensives. So during the day you're doing work projects. It could be, you know, cleaning buildings or working in a garden or, you know, a number of things, working in the kitchen with Ari. And then in the evenings, Michael will be doing workshops and also doing still point breathing. And so it's kind of a combination of work and a little pay to cover the meals that we have to buy. And then we have a day off, and then we start with 16-day communication codependence to interdependence. That's followed by a 9-day Y intensive, followed by the 9-day teacher training. And then 16 days of laws of living. And that ends on September the 6th. And then after that, we will be heading to Illinois and Michigan and north a little bit. And then we're going to be heading back south into Florida. There's several things getting already scheduled in Florida. So keep an eye on our website and on the schedule to see what's going on there. And yesterday we began talking about why people, especially women, get into situations or relationships and they're unhealthy, they're painful, maybe physically abusive, and yet for some reason they don't get out. And so if anybody wants to continue that conversation with me, press 1 and we'll go there. Otherwise, I'm trying to multitask here and look at the switchboard and see if Michael's popping on, also checking into the chat room. Welcome everybody that's in there. And so if nobody has a question, I'll take off on another subject. Press 1. Okay. I guess you can tell I'm not as smooth with this as Michael about just going off the top of his head and talking and just continuing a whole conversation when no one calls in. And he is really good at doing that. Start with slipping over to our website. And for those of you who have pre-orders in, I just happen to see the title, Kabor's Manuscript. We have now gotten the Enlightenment, the new book, it's to press. Julie's book, Healing Children, Loving Children, has gone to press. And we are 99% complete. The Ross Episcopal is going to be going to press. So we have really been doing some editing work and getting some things done, which has been great. So I'm going to flip over to my purpose statement and read that and talk about that for a minute. If you're not familiar with the purpose statement, we have a worksheet on the website, and it goes along with the video, Purpose, Personal Power, and Commitment. Walks you through 3 steps of looking at what you have skills for, what you enjoy doing, and how you see the world, how the perfect world could be. And so in my view, the perfect world is that the planet would shift towards love and truth and harmony as God originally created us to live. So then I go back and I look at the things that I am good at. And for example, and they always will go hand in hand. For example, I have the skill of learning very quickly, and I like to teach. So that goes hand in hand that I can learn something and then teach it to another. So it's, I now use my love for learning to search for truth, and then I will use my teaching skills to share my understanding with those whose paths I cross. I now use my organizational administrative abilities to serve God, not man. Whether I listen or speak, work or play, wherever I go on this earth, whatever relationships are created, I will stay committed, fully aware, responsible, and connected to God. I will radiate the love in me to be a clear voice to my calling so that my life produces a longing in others to follow in the way of truth, to live for God, and to likewise make a difference. To have such an impact on this planet that we create the shift toward love and truth and harmony as God originally created us to live. And I feel like I am more on purpose this past year than I ever have been, because I am now working with women. I am doing workshops separate from Michael doing workshops. I've always assisted him and been part of what he does, but he's mostly done all of the teaching and everything. So this past year, I've kind of stepped into that role. And it was actually a gift that his mother gave to me. It sounds crazy, but when we got the news that she was about to pass, Michael went to Canada to visit with her. And we still had a full week of workshop scheduled. We had 2 days left in it. And I told him, go ahead and go, and I'll take care of the last 2 days. And after he left, it was like, oh, my gosh, what did I just say? And so I got to experience that I could do a workshop on my own. And that was an awesome beginning for me. And then Michael got a gift, too, because when he got up there, because they thought she was going to pass, they took her off all of her medication. And where they had her so drugged up that she didn't know who she was or where she was, she came too, and they actually spent a week together of her knowing who he was and just reminiscing and having an awesome time together. So she really gifted both of us at the end of her life, and we thank Jesse for that. But then shortly after, when Michael came back from Canada, we did 2 9-day intensives in Florida. And they were full both weeks. And some ladies were, you know, like, oh, we have a lot of things we'd like to talk about, but we don't want to talk about it in a mixed congregation here, you know. And so could you have a workshop just for women? And so that led to the four-day women's intensive that I did in Florida, and then it's just kind of evolved from there, and now I'm doing more workshops, and so I feel like I'm on purpose, and more so than I have been. I mean, everything that I've been doing for the past 9 years with Michael, and we just celebrated our 9th wedding anniversary, has been following my purpose, but not as distinctly as it is now. And so I am thankful for that, to be moving in that direction. If anybody on the switchboard has a purpose statement that they would like to share or would like to talk about how you're following purpose or not, give us a call and talk about that. And I see Michael is with us now, and I've turned him on. Welcome, Michael. I did the introduction. I announced that tonight and tomorrow night's canceled, talked about the forgiveness worksheet and directed them to the website, and then I was talking about purpose.
Awesome. Fabulous. Well, thank you, dear heart, and I certainly hold the space for your workshop on Saturday, that it's a seed of something that's going to grow into a global women's happening. I think that you're right on track with it. It's pretty awesome to watch you step out and do it, the courage with which you're doing it. It's fabulous.
Thank you. And I told them Dr. Tim and Rex are both in a meeting, so neither one of them will be with us today. And while it's still in my memory, I spoke with Dora earlier this morning, and she can't be on the show, but this is Wednesday. And so we had started, actually in the beginning it was Unstuck Wednesday, and then it became Breakthrough Wednesday, and then it's the Possibility Wednesday. So on this day, there are possibilities in front of us, and we do just have to step out and take it and do it. And so thank you, Dora, for starting that.
Sure. So we've got Possibility Wednesday, Parent-Teacher Talk Monday, MMA Friday. Who knows what's going to happen next? But it certainly is evolving and moving in an awesome direction. For those who are new to the show, we're in our 4th year, and you can go to the website, and there are archives for 4 years of shows. I haven't sat down and counted them, but it's got to be close to 1,000 by now, I would think. And so we're doing probably about 300 days a year, so. Probably 1,000 shows and 1,000 hours of just some of the most awesome people, and really digging into the building of the brain cells. We had a young woman at the workshops the last 3 days named Marianne Wise, and she's been to Heartland several times. And in fact, she shared with us on the show yesterday, and we were just having a conversation with someone who runs a prison program here in Asheville, North Carolina. And so we just had an hour meeting with her, and Marianne was expressing how each time, you know, she's been at the workshops the last 3 times. I have no idea. Probably Marianne has done the Why Is This Happening to Me Again workshop at least 30 times and has taught it several times and said it on Sunday. It's like, oh, new brain cells, new insight. It just is so multi-tiered that it's amazing how the insight just keeps developing and growing, and with each new insight comes a new level of empowerment for this process of healing ourselves, each other, and the planet. So that's what we're here to do, and that's what's happening. So do we have anybody, sweetie, with a hand up in the phone queue? Our calling number, of course, is 646-200-4169. I'm actually sitting, I just finished packing up the tape table. I'm just sitting outside of this beautiful facility in Weaverville, North Carolina. Just one of the most beautiful residential teaching facilities I've ever seen. Absolutely awesome. We may come back here and do an intensive at some point in the future. And the gentleman that runs it, Jacob, is just this sweet, gentle soul. And so I just met with him, and sitting in this treed little cove that has me shaded, sitting in the van, and it's amazing that we have this technology to keep moving this from wherever we are in the globe, and so it's pretty awesome. And of course, there's a chat room. If you go to our website, you can link into the chat room. A brief registration process will empower you to chat in the chat room to ask questions and such. So do we have anything happening in the chat room that would be useful to be aware of, Jeannie?
No. Everybody's just kind of saying hello to each other, and nobody has their hand up on the switchboard.
Okay. Well, then, we would invite somebody to put their hand up. I know that if you had just been at the workshop I did Monday, why is this happening to me again, or actually the night before last, Dale Hoffman and I were looking at seeing if we can come up with a facility where we can do a four-hour video. We actually did about a two-hour workshop on Aramaicisms. And we got through about half of the material that we had planned to do, the root of our work being the ancient Aramaic language, which is the root of at least six of the world's major religions, although it's not a religious language. And so we're looking for a facility here in Asheville that perhaps on Sunday afternoon we could put together and do a whole four-hour session and get a good videotape that we could make available to people to look at the foundation. Dale and I bouncing off of each other was a pretty sweet time. In fact, if anybody is on the show that was there on Tuesday or Monday night, it would be awesome to hear from you and your input about how they came together. But for me, it created a whole different perspective on the foundation for doing this work. It was really, really powerful. So that was pretty cool. So anyone who might have a question for us, I know if you were at one of these three events we just did, you'd have all kinds of questions, and you'd be stopping me as I walk down off the platform saying, well, Michael, what about this? What about this? What about this? Well, here's your chance. We're here. The whole idea is support you.
You got a hand up?
Oh, cool.
Area code 970, you're on the air.
Well, Michael, Jeannie, this is Brad in Colorado.
Hey there, good sir. How do you be?
I'm great. How about you?
I'm awesome. I'm rocking along here.
Good.
We're coming close to the end of a tour where we've been in seven countries in the last 6 months, and it'll be nice to get home. And I'll be home this afternoon in Bristol and then be home again in Theodosia in another 2 weeks.
Well, good. That sounds exciting for you. I'm glad for you. After all that travel, that's got to be something to really be looking forward to.
Yeah.
Just kind of give you an update. I'm still trying to move forward with my support group, but you know, it's slow going. But I'm hanging in there. I've got the patience and the perseverance to do it, and you know, I've defined my purpose in doing this and taking it forward, and I just keep planting seeds. You know, it's slow going. These guys are so locked down in their trauma and their drama and their denials. And it's slow, but I just keep putting it out there and, you know, wait for a response. That's all I can, you know. And it's still amazing even doing that, what I keep getting, you know, out of it myself, you know, with some of the responses that I get. And that's pretty enlightening. It shows me where I need to, you know, just keep my focus and also, you know, keep doing my own work so I'm walking my talk. And each time this stuff is mirrored back to me, depending on, how, you know, where I'm at with a level of digging into it in conjunction with my vitality, you know, it gives me an additional insight as to where I need to be, you know, really put my focus on it. And it's pretty amazing that way. Like you said, you know, you also get back what you need, and that is occurring, and it's quite an amazing process.
I understand, and you know, in the early days of doing this work, I remember one particular weekend, I had a weekend workshop scheduled, and I used to do a 23-hour format over a weekend. I'd do Friday night from 7 in the evening till 11 at night, 9 in the morning on Saturday till 10 at night on Sunday, and then 9 until 6 on, or pardon me, on Saturday, 9 till 6 on Sunday. And I remember one weekend in Atlanta where I did that for two people. And what I found is, of course, we've said this many times before, I teach best that which I most need to learn. And you've probably heard Dr. Tim talk about one particular evening where they had a support group, and Dr. Tim has done many support groups for 1, 2, 3, 4 people. They're now running an average, I think, of about 12 to 15. But he's done support groups where he was there by himself and went ahead and watched the video and did worksheets, and other weeks where he's had one person, and he said they've been some of the most powerful ones. So it takes time to build. And, you know, when you realize that what you're inviting people into, what we're inviting everyone who's listening to this show, if you're new, to step inside your generational patterns and clean them up, literally. Looking at all of the unconscious dynamics, the tools are here from the Aramaic for how to look at and how to clean out all of the dynamics of, a traumatic married life, a traumatic childhood, a generational pattern of grief and rage and hate and fear, and the quantities of that are in our culture and in our world are monumental. I know when we were out in Washington State, was a gentleman who was actually co-hosting us there. And we were talking about, because of one of the radio shows on Parent-Teacher Talk Monday, that particular show, we were talking about abuse. And this guy did not, pull down his trousers to show me, but he shared with me how when he was a kid, when he and his brother thought they were being smart because the switch that hung in the barn, they took it and put it in the fire, got rid of it, and figured that would be the end of their being beaten with a stick. And he neglected to look at the fact that right beside the switch was a horse whip. And that's what his father took to him next. And he still carries the scars today. And those are the kinds of energetic experiences that are so painful that most people can't even start to think about approaching them. And what we're doing is supporting people and being able to approach those things and work through it. So you're making a big request of people, and it'll take some time for them to be able to hear you. And, of course, as you help them to develop the brain cells, bingo, you'll get a whole new level of insight into the process. So we certainly support you and invite you to stick with it and keep the energy moving.
Yeah, I'll stay the course. I mean, I've learned through this process, too, there is nothing else to turn to. It's staying focused. And I've always been big on truth. And, I see so much truth to this work because, even from my genetic side, me being half Native American, there's a lot of things that just resonated me from that I'm starting to understand better. And, the difference in between the two cultures, between white and Native American, and me being half, I've resonated things from both sides, my whole life. And it just kind of leaves you dazed and confused a lot of times trying to figure out where your real place in life is and what you should be true to. And, for many years I was taught to deny my Native American self and just be white. And one thing I've learned through this, there's two different things going on there in between the cultures of Native Americans and whites, and belief systems and traditions and values and morals and education, on and on and on and on. And I found it more so now, I'm realizing how difficult it's been to try to close that gap between the two cultures, because you have a whole different way, a whole different content of mind and those values and so forth that you're trying to live your life out of. And so the understanding between the two cultures and the significance for a lot of the different things that each culture does is, often gets in the way and creates an incredible amount of a miscommunication and anger and anxiety and, communication breakdown. It's incredible how that works. But, I'm just trying to be true to myself and speak, what I believe is the truth. From what I've learned from all this, and bring it to others, you know, so at least they look at the possibilities of things they've never looked at before, because they, you know, after, especially with the vets, they've been locked in, a lot of them that I deal with have been locked into this stuff for over 40 years. And I say, well, you know, how's that working for you? And over 40 years of being in denial and suppression about all this, and anger and fear, shame, hostility, so on, I said, you know, what? How's whatever you're doing working for you? Well, they say, well, not too good. And I said, well, then, what do you have to fear from trying something different than you've ever looked at before? You might find what you need.
And of course, you know, much as everybody says, oh, I want things to change, I want things to change, I want things to change. When change comes, for most people, it's terrifying. So that's, you know, that's just part of what you need to face in order to bring it forward.
Yeah, I'm finding that very, that's an absolute. So, but I just keep on keeping on. It's what I'm doing, because it's, I know this is the right thing to be doing and what I should commit myself to, and even to finding my purpose on the planet, and also being able to, you know, give others what I've received and pass it on. And so they too don't have to stay locked down into these things of not living a good and true and fruitful life. And I know it's helping me, and you know, the process, even for myself, at times is slow. You know, I get stuck sometimes. I get a little bewildered. But I say, well, I know exactly what I need to do. And so in most cases, it's just simply choosing to do something different.
Right. My next
and
piece of work.
Do the opposite of what I've been doing.
Yeah. Well, I see what you're doing as the opening through which we will formulate a whole program entitled Combat Vets as Healers, and growing a program that starts to offer to combat vets. Actually, the meeting I just had with this person who runs a prison program, she brought up that they have a very close relationship with the VA here and would like to introduce what we're doing to the VA and bring some programs in. And there seems to be in Asheville, North Carolina, it's kind of a different community from anywhere else in the country, but there seems to be a really close-knit, connected community that wants to bring healing and wholeness to the community. And so this woman in the jail, she's just like, I'm on board, you know, let's take this forward. And then she brings up the VA and their close connection with the VA. So I see this as, you know, it's something that's just developing. It's a new, you know, tree that's sprouting in the work. And I appreciate the fact that you planted the seed and you're watering it, because that's what it takes to open the energy window and develop it. And of course, the insanity of so much of our culture. I don't know if Carrie might be on the phone listening today. She called in a couple of days ago, but I was talking to her yesterday, and she was sharing that when she was in Peru, she was introduced to some schools, and one of the things that the schools mention is the insanity of the white man's culture of gold, and that the discovery of gold and the invention of money has been such a bane on civilization. And it is just such a bane on civilization that people are controlled, people's whole lives are focused on something that's just really an idea in the mind, and how destructive it is to relationship, to family. You know, you look in this country today and most families are split and shattered by the fact that just to pay the electric bill and the water bill and the car payment and the insurance and the house payments, et cetera, two parents have to work and there's no one raising children. And the culture's brainwashed women into believing that, you know, it's a lower order of purpose to raise children than to be off having a career and making money, 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 money. And the whole thing is so foreign, of course, to the Native American culture and so many Native cultures around the world. We watched a film recently called When God Gave Up on Us, and it's a story about the lost boys in the Sudan. And you look at these kids who with all the terror and trauma they have been through, they still live loving lives with each other. And this is like real footage from these kids who, you know, watch their parents be slaughtered, their homes be burned down, and literally walked 2 years through the jungles to escape the hunting parties who were committing genocide against the southern Sudanese. And 20,000 young men are orphaned as a result of that. And they are so excited. They've got live footage of four of these young men who are being brought to the United States to be in this, you know, place where the streets are paved with gold and such. And they follow these kids. And the end result, after they're here for a year, it's like, well, you know, I'm working to pay my electric bill, and I'm working to pay my rent, and I'm working to put money on or food on the table, but I've got no community. I don't have time to see my friends. I'm so busy. And, you know, back in Sudan, they're in a refugee camp, but they make time to get together and dance, and they make time to get together and counsel and spend time with each other in community. And, you know, when you look at this culture, it's become one of, well, no, we spend our time to chase the buck. And then, you know, maybe on the weekend we have a little family time, as opposed to these young men are used to, we have families. We have family time. We are together as community. And now we can't do that because we've got to make money to work. We live in a culture of money. So, and of course, the economy is the big conversation. We got to have, you know, so what? So we're making bombs. Bring in that factory. We'll make more money in our community. There'll be more jobs. What if everybody said, thanks, I'm going to quit. I'm just going to go home and grow a garden and feed myself and spend time with my family. You know, how different would our culture be? And I think the Native American and the African culture in this case, and the Aboriginal cultures have given us an opening that is so much more sane. And to hear Carrie sharing from these scrolls, the you know, just that idea of the insanity of the culture based in gold. It's pretty crazy. We need to get back to some real values, I think.
Yeah, Cindy and I just recently had talked a bit about that as well, about the gold culture and what it's done, you know, to shift people's lives and, you know, in a negative fashion. And like you say, you're just a human doing, you're not being a human being. People scurrying around, hurrying to get everything done, and they never get it done. And in the process of it, they lose sight of what was really important. So, you know, it's sad. It's sad to know that, and see that. But there again, I see beyond that, and I think as you do, and many others do. You know, it just takes a personal commitment to oneself, and then also this work on how to heal these things and detach ourselves from them, that they don't have that impact on us, and get back and shift our focus on the things that matter the most. And there's so many things that we can do that people are just locked into their fear and their denial and their doubts that, to try to get them to moving in the right direction is it's difficult.
Yeah, for sure. And one of the things that we point out a lot in the workshops is that when you recognize that this body-mind unit is literally a multi-generational database, one of its major attributes is inertia. You know, that idea of a body moving in a particular direction at a particular rate of speed is going to tend to continue to move in the direction at that rate of speed until it's acted upon by an outside source or influence. And until we can get people's attention, they're, you know, if what they've, you know, been brainwashed with, you know, as kids, they watched dad and, well, they saw him, you know, maybe an hour a week because he was off making money for the family. Oh, that's what it takes to be successful. That's what it takes to raise a family. Okay, well, I'll do that. And to get somebody's attention and change that inertia is a huge task, to change that direction. So I certainly understand. I know for years the speed at which the work moved forward, and now it's picking up momentum after 45 years. But these things, you know, when I talked about them 45 years ago, people looked at me like I was some kind of wacko. Today, at least most people will stop and, as opposed to just dismissing it out of hand, will say, say what? Well, no, I don't agree, but say that again. What was that? And it takes the building of a significant level of understanding to start to change the direction of this inertia-bound database.
Yeah, one thing that puzzles me even in our culture here is the thing that, you know, the gold has brought about that it's about ownership of everything. You own your property, you own your car, you own your house, you own this, you own that.
Yep.
And that was a completely foreign concept to a lot of the cultures around the world is like, well, we don't own this land. We don't do that. We're just the caretakers. And
the land owns us.
And so this thing about ownership, too, is just got people locked into just this craziness, this insanity about, you know, I, me, 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 and one against the other and not doing the other and scurrying around, you know, just to make more and more money, to have more things and have ownership over them. And I personally just don't get it. I don't understand that concept of living. So
I hear you.
Just not in me. I've struggled with that my whole life. I just don't understand that.
Well, and again, it's not in the Native American culture. In fact, I think that if the Native Americans actually took it to its extreme, the whole concept, one of the basic principles of, you know, English law, which is kind of what governs here, common law, is that without the capacity to contract, that means you've got to understand what you're doing, you can't enter into a contract. And when they con the Native Americans into, well, here, we have some beads. You give us your land, we give you these beads. They're like, you're going to give us those beads? Okay. There was no capacity. There was no concept of ownership. What do you mean, our land? Yeah, well, you just sign this, and then we'll own the land. And I mean, there wasn't the capacity to even comprehend what that meant. So I understand what you're saying, that your genetics don't think in terms of ownership of a piece of land. But many, I'm sure, of those early Native Americans, when they returned to go to their grazing lands or what had been one of their traditional stopping points for food and sustenance, I'm sure that they were pretty shocked when they found fences and somebody said, oh, you can't come on here anymore. Well, what do you mean? Well, you used to own this, and we gave you beads, and now we own it. And it's a bewildering concept. I hear you loud and clear because that's a concept that's been trained into people, and it's not native to any Aboriginal culture. And I think that's one of the reasons why, because the Aboriginals have actual land rights. And why did Britain go in and slaughter the native peoples in every land they went into? Because if you can eradicate everybody that's got native land rights, then you can grab it and turn it into contract and make money from it. Pretty bizarre. Pretty bizarre.
Yeah, it never ceases to amaze me that the minds that generate those thoughts and ideas. Like I say, being part Native American, that's the part that has always resonated me and the most, and that I've always had the most difficulty, even growing up outside of my native culture and try to be taught to be something different than what I truly felt I was, and the confusion that causes, you know. I mean, my parents tell me I'm white. I go look in the mirror. I don't look white, you know. I don't think white. I don't do white.
Yep, and, I hear you. I'm clear.
So it's, there's always been a conflict of interest within my own being. You know, it's like, what am I supposed to be here? You know, I've got one side telling me you're supposed to be this and the other side telling me I'm supposed to be that. And, you know, I fought with that for many years. Well, finally, I couldn't do that anymore. I said, I've just got to be true to myself and true to others. I've got to be my authentic self. And, I no longer hide behind that concept of trying to be something I'm not.
I hear you. Well, you know, I'll just offer that. Fortunately, many whites who've come up in the brainwashed culture of that whole ownership concept and such are learning to change our minds to moving out of that and moving back to the truth of who we all be, that we all started out exactly the same way, red, white, blue, yellow, green. I don't care what color somebody's skin is or what color their heart is. You know, we all started out exactly the same way. We came into the world, somebody held us and went, what an awesome presence of love. And when we start to get back to that, then we're going to, everything else wrinkled in the chain is going to square up and straighten out when we bring that to the forefront. And that's why, for me, why my dedication is to bring this to every mind, heart, and being on the planet, because we can't function out of brain cells we don't have. You look at, I mean, some of the atrocious acts on the part of so-called churches who went into not just Native American, but Native cultures all over the globe and literally stole the children and put them into schools to brainwash them into, you know, we can't have these heathens running around. We've got to make good Christian soldiers out of them so they'll go kill for the king. And, you know, the insanity of that whole thing, I mean, it's governed the world. It's taken over the world. And as we start to introduce to people a way to undo that brainwash and we return to who we are, people are going to stop picking up arms for the king. People are going to stop playing that game of, I'm going to go steal it for the king so the king can own it. And we're going to start to function as human beings. And, you know, it won't matter what socioeconomic status somebody's at. It won't matter what color their skin is or what language they speak. We're all part of one, you know, literally. You know, I love how Einstein leads away with that thought of, if you think you're separate or separated from the rest of humanity, you're living in an optical delusion. And the optical delusion of separateness leads to all trauma in marriages, in parent-child relationships, in relationships between neighbors. It all stems from the same insanity. And as we give up that insanity and return to the truth of who we are, that in every circumstance we maintain the active presence of love, you know, everything changes. And I'm so delighted that you're on the team, and especially those who've been subject to that insanity and atrocity called war, which is in essence, you know, a way of stealing somebody else's property. There's always, of course, the rallying behind the flag and all that, but the truth is it's about stealing people's property from them. And, you know, just all of the pain and suffering around all of that is what keeps people in that cycle. And I acknowledge you, admire you, and appreciate you for the fact that you're stepping into that. I mean, that's one of the toughest arenas to work in, that you're stepping in there and bringing it forward. And it's just, I'm most appreciative of you being on the team.
Well, I'm honored and I'm grateful to be a part of the process of doing this and having that opportunity, because I do try to live by the ancient Zhou words, Mantaka Lhasa, that we're all one, we're all connected with all things, and we just need to get back to that and come to that realization and that understanding and work together hand in hand. And instead of, you know, fighting against each other constantly and with all these things that don't belong, they get in the way of not living a fruitful life.
Well, I think, you know, one of the other brainwashes, one of the ways that children are brainwashed is they're put into schools where they're taught that competition is what it's all about. So let's compete. And you watch these kids with their parents and their coaches raging at them because they didn't hit the ball right, or they didn't, you know, run the base when they hit there, et cetera, et cetera. The insanity of that. And I think that in every school where there are competitive sports, for every minute spent practicing or playing competitive sports, that the coaches, the parents, and the children should have to spend an equal minute in a cooperative effort with the opposing team from the other school or the other city or the other state, where they come together and they do something useful and meaningful within the community in a cooperative fashion, so that, you know, it's kind of like an equal time. So I appreciate what you're doing, sir. And Jeannie tells me we've got two callers. Let's see what they've got to say.
All right. The first one's we do have a question in the chat room that came in before the callers. And
yes.
I've answered them, but you might want to give a different answer. And it says, I was setting boundaries recently, and I was very intense with my command to cease from verbally attacking me. My question is, how do I know for sure if I'm triggered or simply using the energy sufficient to communicate my wish? And so I've talked to them about changing their wording because they're still focusing on being verbally attacked, to change it to, you know, for people to speak to me lovingly, gently, and to honor me. And that they would know that they were triggered if they felt something less than love. And that it was more than, and to also look at, you know, they used the term that they were really stressing their energy or whatever, focusing on it. And that, you know, that's kind of like my little example of the trash can. I can go by and spray air freshener on it and we can live with it. But if I quit, then it starts to stink. That the real answer is dumping the garbage. So if you want to comment to that, and then we do have two callers.
My first thought would be that it sounds like when the verbal attack came, when you say you used intense language and voice, it sounds like maybe you returned attack for attack. And if you did, then that's going to be something that will just stimulate the fire. If I'm feeling attacked, I have a response in me that perhaps is fear or sadness or whatever it happens to be. My first order of business would be that I clean that up in me, the reality of fear, the reality of pain around being verbally attacked. And, of course, simultaneously, I'm going to speak up for myself. And if I have difficulty speaking up from a connected space of love, then that's also my work. And you know, it's just, you know, in the ancient teachings, they said the gateway is narrow. Few will be that find it. And the pathway is a challenge to stay, you know, in that centered place while you can put a hand up and say, this behavior needs to change. I'm willing to look at the behavior I do that invites this behavior of yours, and I'm willing for you to look at why you're using the behavior you are, and I'm up for changing the dynamic. And one of the most powerful ways that I know to change that dynamic is with the commitment that's on the website. If you go to whyagain.org and click on My Commitment, then you might print that copy off and share it with the person you're having this dialogue with and invite them into a space of, would you be interested? I notice when the stress is up and the chips are down, you go to a loud voice and you get what to me feels and looks like is abusive. And I'm ready for that to change. I realize that maybe I've done a little of that myself and or, you know, that I've got a part of me that thinks I deserve that. I'm going to work on that. But in the meantime, are you willing to learn to communicate differently? And so the commitment starts out with, I promise to trust you enough to tell you the truth, to be true to you, and to treat you lovingly, gently, and with respect in my thoughts, my words, and my actions, whether I'm in your presence or not. And so you might print off that commitment and start to work with that in the context of the relationship. You know, people can't function. You can say to somebody, I want you to speak to me gently. But if their power person raged at them every time that they weren't fulfilling their power person's goal for them, then when someone else isn't fulfilling their goal, the tendency would be, and it's not as if they've got a choice about it, choice hasn't been developed yet in that person. And so if what they do is spew out the same hostility that their power person spewed onto them, they couldn't change that behavior without building new brain cells. You can't just say, well, you're not supposed to do that anymore, so you better stop. Because they can't stop. They can only function on the brain cells they have. Offer them the tool of forgiveness. Okay, so I noticed that you used that intense voice, and if you're interested in shifting that and living in a more gentle, peaceful place with me, then I invite you to start to forgive those energies in yourself. Explain the forgiveness process. And then introduce the commitment as a way to build some new brain cells. Nobody can function out of brain cells they don't have. And especially when the stress is up and the chips are down, everybody functions out of the brain cells they have. And if the only brain cells they have are their power person just literally pouring this energy of hostility on them, they're going to turn around and pour it back out again because that's the content they have. Show them how to empty their minds of that content, give them new brain cells, and be the model for when the stress is up and the chips are down, speaking and functioning lovingly, gently, and with respect, and you've got a starting point for a new way to live. And it's not going to happen overnight. It's not a five-minute job. When you're starting to change those dynamics, you've got somebody who automatically goes into a fit of rage in, or even a silent rage, or, you know, an energetic rage of, well, I'm going to cut you off because you're not doing what I want you to do. I'm going to cut off my affection to you, and I'm going to make sure that if I look at you, it's going to be with some sort of disdain. Forgiveness is a process that takes time to empty that energy out of the vessel and to put something different in it. And one of the ways that people are able to put something different in it is when a person can reach out in that stressful situation and lovingly, gently, and with respect, returning that kind of respectful voice. That'd be my thought. We're down to a couple of minutes, and Jeannie, you've got a caller too. Let's see what a caller's got to say. And our caller, whoever it is, if we could get to the point of how we can support you, we've got about 2.5 minutes left.
Right. And also, the person talking about boundaries, go back and listen to Monday's show because you and Dr. Tim talked about boundaries. So the caller is 828. You're on the air.
Hello?
Hello, welcome. Give us a name. And you're calling from Asheville, North Carolina?
This is Lisa. I'm calling from Asheville.
Well, hey there, young lady. How can we support you?
Well, last night I forgot all of the stuff that, let's see, how do I get to the point? My girlfriend said that she can't stay in the relationship with me because I'm bringing up pain for her when I tell her that she's not seeing me enough or giving me enough time and energy. And I wish that you could have been there. I know that you can't obviously be at my house, but I didn't know what to say, and I forgot everything.
Well, you know, as the conversation we just spoke about, and it sounds like, you know, perhaps, and this is going to have to be the short answer, we could open the show tomorrow with this conversation if you'd like to continue it. But my thought would be that, you know, in front of your power person, when the stress was up and the chips are down, did you find yourself unable to speak?
I don't recall. I don't remember that.
Okay. Well, you might just check into that. And so in the stress of this person not fulfilling your goals, then if your mind goes blank, that's a place to start to do some worksheets around going unconscious. And as you allow yourself to become more conscious, then you can consciously, purposely speak. Another way to approach that is because you notice that under the stress of the moment, you tend to lose awareness of what you know in terms of the tool. Another way to approach it can be put in writing. You know, and you can start out your writing with, you know, I notice in the stress of the moment, it's tough for me to stay connected to what I want to say. So I'm going to do this in writing. And Jeannie tells us it's time, so we've got to let it go. But call in early in the show tomorrow, and we'll continue the conversation. We'd love to support you, Lisa.
And, Lisa, if you haven't gotten the email, tonight and tomorrow night have been canceled. So watch your email.
All right, so we appreciate everybody, and we invite you to give the best gift you could possibly give to the world. Create the best year yet of your eternal life. We're here to support you in that. Blessings. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie, who present the internal Aramaic process of forgiveness. Michael and Jeannie are here every Monday through Friday on Earth Angels Radio. For more on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. That's www.whyag.com. MindShiftersRadio.com.